Hello, lovely listeners. Welcome back to another episode of Coffee and Crime, a true crime podcast. If you're new here, hi, hello, how you doing? My name is Lisa Marie. And if you're an OG listener, hi, hello, how you doing? It's been a while since I've released an episode, the last episode being back in September. And now it's December, so, you know, girl math, that's like been a week. In reality, it's probably been a lot longer. So I do apologize for the ghosting on releasing episodes on social media and everything like that. It's not because it was Halloween and I thought it'd be fun to do, to be a ghost. It's just because life has been very overwhelming. But I'm hoping that this episode, hence the title, The Comeback, will be my comeback into podcasting, because I know it's not something that I want to give up. It's just something that I knew that I needed to just take a breather from, for lots of reasons, and next year we'll be back in full swing, and next year we will continue with the Pernicious Parents series. But today's going to be slightly different, and I'll explain how tonight's going to run. Well, tonight for me, it might be this morning, wherever you're listening, this afternoon, whatever you may be doing when you're listening to this episode. But I'll go through what we're doing in just a minute, but as usual, I'll play the little warning, the trigger warning for the episode, and then we'll get into it. But I do want to say as well, thank you so much for your continued support. Just before I sat down to start recording this episode, I thought I'd have a look at the analytics of the show, which is something I haven't done since I released the last episode, really. And I'm just shocked and completely blown away that the support has been continuing, even though I haven't been. You guys are loyal, you guys are the best, and I am very grateful and I'm so thankful that you're tuning in today and listening and being there and supporting this little old Kiwi podcaster in my very small corner of the world. So thank you so much. And now we're going to get into it. Warning, the following episode contains adult language and graphic content. This episode is intended for listeners 16 years and above. Listener discretion is advised. So, the way that this episode is going to run, I thought instead of, you know, doing a full dive, deep dive into a case and potentially running into the risk of going, you know what, no, I just absolutely hate this, I thought what I will do is do a little rundown of Christmas crimes. So if you were around last Christmas, I did the 12 Crimes of Christmas, where I introduced other podcasters who had covered Christmas crimes, and that was really cool. So I'm going to do something similar. However, I'm not taking these from other podcasters. I'm literally on a couple of websites. I'm going to talk about some horrifying murders, some bizarre murders, and then some weird and crazy crimes that happened around Christmas time. However, I am not going to be by myself this episode recording. I've got a very, very special guest. He's returning. It's his second time on the podcast, and it's none other than my partner, Ashton. I've got to move the mic, so bear with me. We've got one mic to share between two. The audio might sound funny. I'll do my best in the editing stages, but this is going to be fun. So I'm going to share some crime stories with Ashton. We're going to talk about them. Some of the weird and crazy ones, they're quite funny. We're going to have a couple of drinks, and then I'm going to make Ashton tell us some jokes. So it's going to be a bit funny. We'll see how it goes, but I hope you do enjoy it. And I'm going to get us started on the 9 horrifying murders that occurred at Christmas time from allthatsinteresting.com. Well, hello, Ashton.
Hey, how you doing?
Hello, welcome back to the podcast.
Redemption Day.
Yeah, because I don't think that last episode we did was too good.
I'm surprised you released it.
I had to do something different. And that was when I was releasing weekly. Mm. So I had to. I wasn't proud of it, but I had to.
I'm actually stoked that I get to be on the comeback episode.
Nice. It was funny when my auntie and cousins came over from the UK, because my cousin's partner, Laura, she listens to the podcast.
Oh, nice.
But she told my auntie and stuff about it, and the first episode they listened to was our one.
Oh, no.
And I was like, well, that was not smart. But yes, no. So oh, you're
the bleep
on...
man would have been paying extra that time. That bleep button would have been.
Yeah.
Do, 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 do.
That was not good. Not good. But anyway, it's your redemption. It's my comeback.
Back at it.
It's all good in the hood over here. So what I'm going to do is I'm going to read Ashton the name of the crime or the title it's been given and see if he knows anything about it. And then I'm going to read him the little synopsis. And these are coming from websites. Like I said, they're not deep dives. So don't come at me if anything is wrong, if they're any of the information. I didn't write them. I'm just reading them. And Ashton, he's got a little notebook that he's going to make some notes in. And we're going to solve all the world's problems today, aren't we?
Yeah, definitely. I got some questions for this.
Questions. We haven't even started and you got questions.
I got questions.
All right. So the first case is very, very well known. If you have been a fan of true crime, well, not fan, you know, if you're into true crime, you have without a doubt heard of this case. It is none other than the Christmas murder of child pageant queen JonBenet Ramsey. Ashton, have you heard of JonBenet Ramsey?
No, I've never heard JonBenet Ramsey.
No, wow. It's very, very sad. So, one of the most infamous Christmas crimes of all time happened in 1996 when 6-year-old JonBenet Ramsey was allegedly kidnapped from her family's Boulder, Colorado home. JonBenet's lifeless body was soon found in the family's basement, launching a mystery that endures to this day. Oh, you're already scribbling notes. I love it. Now, according to JonBenet's parents, Patsy and JonBenet Ramsey, the family first realized that something was wrong around 5:30 a.m. on December 26th, when Patsy reportedly found a ransom note in the family's home declaring that JonBenet had been kidnapped and was being held for a $118,000 ransom. Hours after the Ramseys called the police, JonBenet's father, he found JonBenet's body in the family basement. The 6-year-old had been bound and gagged, bludgeoned over the head, strangled, and possibly sexually assaulted. Before long, the mystery of the shocking Christmas murder gripped the entire nation. JonBenet had participated in a number of child beauty pageants, and magazines quickly printed photos of the 6-year-old in costumes and full makeup. Some critiqued her parents for letting JonBenet participate, and others levied much more serious accusations. As the case unfolded, suspicion fell on the Ramsey family. Not only did the paper and pen used for the ransom note came from the house, but the alleged kidnapper asked for a specific amount, $118,000. That happened to be the same amount of money that John Ramsey had received as a bonus that year. Some even suspected that JonBenet's parents had covered up her murder after her 9-year-old brother Burke killed her by accident. Multiple suspects have been considered in the decades since, from the family's housekeeper to a local sex offender who told a friend that he'd, quote, hurt a little girl, end quote. But to date, this tragic Christmas murder remains unsolved. Yeah, that's like one of the big true crime cases, and there's always... It's kind of along the same lines as the Madeleine McCann case. Have you?
Yeah, you know about that one? I know about that one. They apparently have found that guy. They think it's like...
Oh, they always come out like every year going like things have been found and, you know, obviously...
Who was that sex offender, by the way, who was at the... Like they took it down to, they thought it was a sex offender and who were like, oh, we talked
for,
about
for
Ramsey,
this case. Without...
Yeah, for that case, sorry, not for the Madeleine McCann case.
No, with this one, because I haven't done a deep dive, this is one that I have wanted to do a deep dive on. I'm not 100% sure. It just says a local sex offender... I think he came in through like the basement door or something.
Basement door.
Or like, you know, through the basement. I don't know, like the back door. I don't know.
Basement's underground. Did he dig a hole to like...
No, basement's underground. They're like lower than the family living area. But yeah, that one is very sad. And she... I'll show you a photo of her. She was so beautiful.
Aww.
Yeah, little pageant queen. I mean, child pageants are questionable, to be honest, but what do I know? But yeah, what have you got scribbled down? Let's hear your thoughts about the JonBenet Ramsey case.
Well, I mean, the $118,000 bonus kind of like threw me off. I was like, that's a weird specific number. Like, yeah. Wouldn't you go for $120,000? Like, to be honest, like,
right.
Like, just might as well push the $2,000.
Imagine, like, doing a tax return on that.
Yeah. Well, I mean, we're all cash. Like, imagine having to go to your bank and being like, oh, hey, I want to withdraw $118,000.
Well, they had a ransom note, and it's very hard to read. But the ransom note said how they wanted the cash.
Let me
see if I can...
That changes a lot of things.
Okay, sorry. So they wanted 100,000 of it to be in $100 bills and the remaining 18,000 in $20 bills.
Is that sequential or non-sequential?
I don't know what that means.
It means like, so if you get like $100 bills from a bank, like of course like a new $100 bills, you're going to get them like 1801, 1802, 1803, 1804, 1805, because you know the serial numbers on
banknotes. Yeah,
you're going to get them sequential.
Right.
So it's like 1, 2, 3, yeah, 4, 5. Yeah, so
they'll be easier to track.
Yeah, so they want non-sequential bills, so it was like not the same number. Right, so it was like 1801 and then like 1415 and then, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
So non-sequential.
I don't know. He didn't, the person who wrote the ransom didn't say. They said, make sure you bring an adequate sized attaché to the bank.
What's an attaché?
Like a bag.
Oh. Huh.
Yeah, so that to carry it in. What? Is it like a briefcase or something?
He's kidnapping someone, but he says attaché.
Yeah. An attaché is, yeah, like a case. Why is that funny?
So specific.
Yeah, make sure you bring 1800, adequate size. You bring
$180,000 in an attaché bag. Make sure it's Gucci.
I could have my Gucci.
Oh. Exactly.
When you get home, you will put the money in a brown paper bag. I will call you between 8 and 10 a.m. tomorrow to instruct you on delivery. The delivery will be exhausting, so I advise you to be rested. If we monitor you getting the money early, we might call you early to arrange an earlier delivery of the money. And it gets like scribbly and hard to read, and it's only a little snippet. But like the start says, Mr. Ramsey, listen carefully. We are a group of individuals that represent a small foreign faction. We respect your business, but not the country it serves. At this time, we have your daughter in our possession. She is safe and unharmed. And if you want her to see 1997, you must follow our instructions to the letter. It's pretty like horrifying, to be honest. If they really weren't involved, if Patsy and John really weren't involved, and this wasn't a cover-up of her 9-year-old brother killing her or anything like that, it's like, that's horrifying, eh?
Yeah, I can't imagine. It's pretty rough.
I can't imagine that. That'd be pretty sad.
You'd have to be honest, like, the way that they've, you'd have to ask questions like, why is $118,000 being asked for? Yeah. To be honest, like, why wouldn't you go 120 and then do you think $118 is worth, like, it?
No, he's money's surely worth putting anyone in danger. There's no amount of money.
But who did he owe that money to?
No, he got that as, like, a bonus for whatever work he was doing. You know, like, he got that as, like, a Christmas bonus or whatever.
Who did you work with?
Without doing a deep dive, you're asking good questions, and when I do a deep dive, I'll bring you back on.
Who did you work with? I'm sure it'll be what like Stevenson has probably his like Stevenson, Mr. Stevenson.
If anyone knows what company John Bennett Ramsey worked for, please drop it below.
Let's start a Reddit.
I will let Ashton know and he will have peace of mind. All right, the second crime we're moving on to. Oof, this is one that I had heard of but didn't connect like names. And then when I did a podcast collaboration with Story Crime, they said that we would do a like another collaboration on Karma Homolka from Canada, and I didn't realize that I was like, oh, I've never heard of that person. They were really surprised, and then when I was reading this, I was like, oh my gosh, I actually do know who that person is. So this is the brutal murder of Tammy Homolka by the Ken and Barbie killers. Have you heard of them?
Yeah, Margot Robbie and...
and Ryan Gosling. No! No, that's Karma and... What's his name? Tommy?
Who calls their kid Karma?
Oh, no. That's Paul Bernardo and Carla. Sorry, Carla. Come on. What did I say? Karma?
Karma. I was like, who calls their kid Karma? A lot of bad stuff's going to happen to you.
I'm feeling a little merry already.
So what's the name? Karma
and... Carla. Carla Homolka and Paul Bernardo. All right. Are you ready to listen to this one? It's a bit brutal. Down. Okay. Christmas is a time for family, but Carla Homolka took that to a sick extreme when she agreed to help her fiancé, a serial rapist Paul Bernardo, assault and ultimately kill her 15-year-old sister, Tammy, on December 23rd, 1990. By that point, Bernardo had been known to the police in Ontario, Canada, as the Scarborough Rapist, though he had not yet been identified. Bernardo had raped or attempted to rape at least 19 women when he met Carla during his spree, and she indulged many of his dark desires. But after the couple got engaged, Bernardo confessed that he was bored with their sex life and disappointed that Carla hadn't been a virgin when they met. So the couple came up with a twisted solution. They decided to rape Carla's younger sister Tammy during their family's 1990 Christmas party. Carla, who worked in a veterinary clinic, spiked Tammy's drink with animal anesthetics. When the rest of the family went to sleep, she held a cloth soaked in halothane over Tammy's mouth. They took turns raping her with Paul, a brutal sexual assault that was captured on the couple's video camera. Though the couple did not mean to commit a Christmas murder, Tammy choked on her vomit and died. At the hospital, her death was ruled accidental as a result of alcohol poisoning, but Paul and Carla, not considered suspects in her death, went on to rape and kill again. Between 1991 and 1993, they raped and murdered at least two young girls before Carla decided to turn Paul in after he beat her. The media swiftly dubbed the attractive blonde couple as the Ken and Barbie killers, and their case captivated Canadians. Though Paul was sentenced to life in prison, Carla made a deal with the prosecution and was released in 2005. And I know that has pissed off a lot of Canadians that she's just out there free. Like, she's changed her name and her identity and stuff, and she's just out.
That's fair. Well, I mean,
it's not fair.
No, it's not fair. It's definitely not fair. It was just like, it's fair that the people were pissed off that day.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
Oh, don't you know this?
Stop it. Was that really your best Canadian accent?
Nah.
No? Okay. Sorry.
Sorry, eh?
I just think of the two moose from Brother Bear.
I've got one standing up and standing down, eh? It was 1990, though.
Yeah.
So it was like, a lot of things would have been looser back then. It would have been the same, like, technology is what I'm saying. Like, you couldn't get away with that today.
Oh, no. Oh, they would have been, I think they would have been caught a lot quicker, but...
It's the fact that they were documented as well. It was documented when they kind of messed themselves up. They filmed it.
This is what I don't get about criminals. They, like, video or take photos and keep them.
It's like an arson goes back to his... You know, it's like an arson goes back to his, like... His like arson site and watches it being like, oh, it's burning. That's crazy. Oh, yeah, like
a pyromaniac.
It's same with an
arsonist, yeah.
Nine times out of ten, sometimes they're like, oh, nine times out of ten, sometimes.
Nine times out of ten, but sometimes.
Yeah, yeah. Compared to me in Vegas. Yeah. No, they're usually firefighters.
Yeah.
They go back. So it's like always a thing, they return to the scene of the crime.
Or they keep their trophies, which is stupid because... But it means that they can relive the adrenaline they had when they, you know...
And then they get annoyed with each other because they just... But then, like, you'd always feel like they'd team up, so they feel like Bonnie and Clyde type thing, you know?
Oh, yeah.
This romantic, like...
That's not even accurate.
No, it's not. I know Bonnie and Clyde, but it's like... You know, it's like the thrill of like doing it together.
Yeah.
They're like.
But then she turned him in because he like, you know, slapped around.
Ah. Well.
Not because he was doing all these awful things, and she was as well.
That's not a woman. It's not a woman you want to be with.
She a bitch. She cold hearted bitch.
Yeah. Snitches get stitches.
But then she got the stitches out and she was released and now she's living a life. It's bullshit. Bullshit. Alright.
Yeah. Who's using the bleep button now? You have to edit the hell out of this.
I'm the editor. I can take whatever I like. Say, yeah.
You can edit the hell.
I can put bleeps over it if I liked. Anyway, any other comments, Dad?
Hey.
It's pretty awful, that one, what they did. Like, to his sister.
Yeah.
Friggin' sister. I mean, to anyone, it's awful, but, like, his sister. And, well, it's, like, incestual. She raped her, too. Ugh.
I feel that she might have been, like, driven being, like, yo. By the partner.
Because Paul was like, you weren't a virgin, I want a virgin. And she's like, my sister's a virgin. How do you know your sister's a virgin? I don't know everything about my sister's sex life.
Oh, I think you do.
I do now. She's pregnant. I know what you did last summer. Anyway, all right. The next one. Now, this next case, honestly, when I first heard like the full deep dive on this, it kept me up for days because I was thinking so much about it. It's a proper mystery. Like, mystery. Okay? You ready? So this is the mysterious disappearance of the Sodder children. On Christmas Day in 1945, the Sodder family home in Fayetteville, West Virginia, went up in flames. When the smoke cleared, George and Jenny Sodder, who were the parents, were devastated to discover that 5 of their 10 children had apparently been unable to escape the blaze. But as the years passed, the couple became convinced that their missing children hadn't died in the fire at all. Though there was no sign of the missing Sodder children, Maurice, who was 14, Martha, who was 12, Louis, who was 9, Jenny, who was 8, and Betty, who was 5, investigators also didn't find any of their remains in the house. As a crematorium worker told Jenny, bones take around 2 hours to burn to ashes. The Sodder home was only on fire for 45 minutes before the flames went out. What's more, a number of odd incidents had bookended the children's disappearance. Before the fire, an insurance salesman had told George Sodder that his home would go up in smoke because he criticized Benito Mussolini. So...
I know. Yeah, I know. Mussolini, the Italian dictator. Yeah, so right? I knew. So it sounds like mob type stuff.
Wow. So I know a little bit about this case. So George was born in Italy, so he's from Italy, and he moved over to America, and now he's like criticizing Mussolini, who, you know, big top dude, and so he angered the Italian Americans in Fayetteville, right? And during the blaze, so George, when the fire started, he ran out to his truck to go get the ladder. But the ladder from his truck was missing and his truck had been, like, snagged and cut so they wouldn't start. Right.
Are these unsolved or, like, just tell you that the Italian mafia did it?
You can't prove it.
Of course I can't prove it, but wait.
Right, so were the missing Sodder children victims of a Christmas murder, or did something more complicated happen that night on December 25th, 1945? To date, the answer depends on who you ask. George and Jenny spent the rest of their lives believing that their 5 children had been kidnapped in retaliation. Indeed, sightings of the Sodder children were reported after the blaze. Some locals believe that they saw the children watching the blaze from a passing car, and a woman who owned a truck stop 50 miles away claimed that she saw the children with Italian-speaking adults on the day after Christmas. In 1968, Jenny had received a photo of a man who claimed to be Louis, but efforts to find him went nowhere. George died that year, and Jenny passed away in 1989. Since then, this Christmas mystery has endured. So yeah, so I know a little bit more about this case, and it was so sad because like the rest of the children and George and Jenny, like they put their own money into like billboards and like constant like newspaper ads, like wanting information about where their kids are. Some believe that they were like taken. Some
curtains type thing.
Yeah, some believe that they were like bribed and or you know like they were. Yeah, kidnapped, and then because they were all quite young, I mean, the oldest was 14, but, like, especially the younger ones, you know, were convinced then that the family they were with were, like, their family, like, situations had changed.
Brainwashed?
And, yeah, a little bit of brainwashing type stuff.
Well, I mean, they could be trained into killers if they're... I mean, to be honest, I think the Mafia or, like, someone in Italy has something to do with it. Like, I definitely think the Mafia has something to do. I'm not going to quote on that. Quote on my Mafia brothers. Just in case you come find me in New Zealand. Yeah, but to be honest, like...
Hey, yo, we heard what you said on your Mrs. podcast.
Hey, don't worry. Don't worry. I like Sean Strickland. He's got my back. Call him out.
Something but 100%
else... for insurance for the Mafia, like...
Yeah, because something else happened. So around midnight, Jenny, the mum, woke up because she heard a noise on the roof. I was like, huh, that's odd. What's that? Santa?
Santa.
No. But no, she woke up because she heard a noise on the roof. And then, like, not long after, the house went up in flames. And what's really odd is the... because this was before, like, phones and calling 911 and 111 or 999, wherever you live.
Oh, they were making smoke signals, I get it.
No, but it took, like, 7 hours for the firefighters to get there, even though they were, like, 2.5 miles away or something like that. It's, like, someone's paid them off to hang back. Like, oh. But, the neighbours were the ones helping to, like, you know, put the fire out.
And the neighbours disappeared?
No. The neighbours were the ones helping. And this is what's like, weird, right?
So, like, a few years later, the neighbours disappeared?
I don't know.
Okay.
But, so the neighbours were helping to put... I don't know what happened to the neighbors. The house went up in flames and it was on fire for 45 minutes. But then the fire...
45?
45 minutes. I said this. Were you
I know.
Because
no,
it takes human remains 2 hours to burn. But the house was only on fire for 45 minutes. But it took 7 hours for the fire to arrive. The fire ambulance...
Yeah, exactly. We were talking about the four. It was like someone paid them off.
Yeah, I reckon, to be honest.
I don't practice Santeria, but I feel that Mafia probably has something to involve with. I mean, no, I think it was just a natural occurrence.
But yeah, like, I just think it's so odd that his, like, work ladder had been taken, that his trucks couldn't start, so he couldn't, like, drive to go get help. And, like, poor George, he had, like, an amazing history. Like, he was working, and he was, like... a foreman at the age of like 12 or something. Like, he was a real, like,
he was going hard.
Yeah, he was going real hard. He made a really good life for himself and then
set his kids up, and then he must have just messed someone up, the wrong person, especially Miss Aline.
And he like kept trying to go into the house to save his kids and stuff. Like, it's such a heartbreaking story,
especially
but
when
the mystery
just, like,
is just so
Well, I mean, there's, like, the whole thing, you know, where it's like if you diss a, like, a big leader, like, Mussolini was a big leader.
Yeah, big boy.
But it's, you know, recently in that whole thing with the Saudi Arabians and the Turkish, and then that Turkish reporter went to Saudi embassy, then all of a sudden didn't come out.
Yeah.
It's that kind of thing. It's like, if someone wants someone gone.
There's ways to make it happen.
That
but it's just
gone.
So, oh my goodness, like, so I listened to it it was the Nick of Crime podcast, shout out to Nick of Crime, and they covered the story so well, and I just sat there thinking about it for ages.
Yeah.
Like,
they covered that story.
They covered this, the whole story.
The Mussolini story?
No, the Soda children.
Oh,
this case, right?
Yeah.
Not Mussolini.
No, they, I mean, like, it's like Mussolini. Talked about a Saudi person before.
No. So Nick of Crime covered the Soda children. They actually also covered Biggie Smalls' murder.
Oh,
I think you'd like that.
Anyway. No, Tupac was murdered.
Yeah, they talked about Tupac and Biggie. Anyway.
They found the murderer.
Yeah, they did. They did. But it was just, you know, because they did a full deep dive. And it was just so good, and I just thought about it for ages, and I would just love to know what happened to those kids, you know? Like,
they're probably living amongst you.
What, here?
Not
in New Zealand.
Not New Zealand.
New Zealand.
New Zealand.
I know, we've got a lot of Italians over here. Not really. Kind of. Anyway.
Forget about it.
Yeah. Oh, this one's messed up. So the next one is the Christmas murder of Zazelle Preston. You heard of this one?
No.
No? All right. On Christmas morning in 2011, Zazelle Preston's children gathered around the tree in their Anaheim, California home and found their mother slumped on the couch wearing sunglasses. Her husband, William Wallace, allegedly told the children that, quote, "Mummy had gotten drunk and ruined Christmas," end quote, when in fact, Wallace had killed her the night before and then propped her up on the couch to fool the children. As the New York Post reported, Wallace and Preston attended a Christmas Eve party together on December 24th before getting into an argument at home. Neighbors heard them shouting, and Wallace allegedly told one of Preston's relatives, quote, "We were drinking, and during the argument, I tossed her around a bit," end quote. The next morning, Wallace brought Preston out of their bedroom and set her up on the couch as Preston's two children opened presents. Mummy ruined Christmas. She got drunk and ruined it," he allegedly told them. Police were called to the house where they found Preston dead and clear evidence that she and Wallace had had a violent argument. According to the New York Post, investigators found blood throughout the apartment, holes punched into walls, and a door that had been yanked off its hinges. Though Wallace claimed that Preston had gotten drunk, tripped, and fallen onto a glass table, he was found guilty of second-degree murder and sentenced to 15 years in prison. Preston's mother, Seidel, accused him at his sentencing of not only beating and torturing Preston, but also, quote, "mentally assassinating her children," end quote, by pretending that she was still alive. That's sick, man. Like, the kids there.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, that's sick.
How sad was the mum that she's, like, back in the sun being like, "Oh, they're mentally traumatized, I think, even though my son's a scumbag and, like, killed the daughter." That's what happened, right?
So the victim's mum.
Oh, the victim's mum.
Yeah, the victim's mum. No, Seidel, that's her name.
Yeah.
Yeah, so she said, "Not only did you beat and torture my daughter, you've mentally assassinated her children."
Oh, because, okay. Yeah. Sorry. I thought the
dude's mum.
The dude's mum was using her being like, "Hey, you mentally assassinated my children," being like,
No. Yeah, the mum
suing the dead body, the dead mum.
No. The mum's mum. She said that you mentally said because you propped their dead mother on the couch,
yeah,
saying that, "Oh, she got drunk and ruined Christmas," when actually you killed her.
Bad mouth in the, yeah.
And they're rough. There, you know, opening presents and meant to be like this joyous Christmas morning, and their mum's sleeping on the couch. Rough. Like, that's just disgusting. I think that's just, that's awful.
Like, not only cruel. Just killing the mum and then just, like, bad-mouthing her.
Yeah. Yeah. Bad-mouthing right her. In front of, like, her kids. Because they keep saying they're her kids. I don't think they're his kids. Yeah, it's just disgusting. Like, yeah. He knew she was dead. And instead of, like, because he claims that she got drunk, tripped over and fell into a glass table. So he's saying that he didn't kill her. Like, yeah, like, punched her and slept around or whatever. Even though that's really not okay. Why didn't he, like, call the ambulance? You know what I mean? Like, and then do this whole facade of her being on the couch, but saying that, "Oh, she got drunk and ruined Christmas." It's just disgusting. It's awful. The next crime is Samina Imam, the woman murdered on Christmas Eve by her lover. Have you heard of Samina Imam? I'm just going to assume you've not heard any of these cases.
No, to be honest, Samina sounds Indian.
Samina.
Where's she from?
I'm not too sure.
She's Slovakia.
I'm not too sure.
Oh, so, let's start that as a game.
What? Guess where people from? I don't think so. It'd be Samina. Terrible. So, on Christmas Eve in 2014, 34-year-old Samina Imam excitedly set out to meet her boyfriend, Roger Cooper. He'd promised to leave his long-term partner for her and take her to the Mal Mason Boutique Hotel to celebrate the holidays. Instead, with the help of his brother, David, Cooper killed her. Imam and Roger met while working at Costco in Coventry, England. Though Cooper had a long-time partner and was involved with another woman, he and Imam had struck up a relationship. And they weren't meant to because he was, like, a regional manager and she was, like, a head office manager. Like, they weren't, you know, supposed to do that just because it wasn't very good. But anyway, so as things got serious... Yeah, it's... don't... Fuck your coworkers.
Hey.
Anyway, as things got serious.
Unless it's Dapper Gap, then it's fine.
No. As things got serious, however, she demanded that he leave his long-term partner for her. To her face, Cooper agreed to do so, but behind her back, he began to plot Imam's murder with David, who was his brother. They texted using Star Wars references to conceal their true intentions. And according to Vice, they even embarked on a failed attempt to kill Imam on December 12th, 2014. So on December 24th, the brothers' plot finally succeeded, as Vice reports Cooper picked up Imam after work and told her that they needed to make a quick stop at his brother's before continuing on to the hotel. But at David's house in Leicester, the brothers attacked. They smothered her with chloroform and poisoned her with toxic chemicals like arsenic and mercury. When Imam failed to appear for her family's Boxing Day dinner on the day after Christmas, they notified the police. Investigators soon tracked Samina's cell phone data to Leicester and to David's house, where they found a bottle of Bellini that Samina had purchased in his fridge. Hauntingly, investigators also found a sign on David's allotment shed that read, quote, "Don't wind me up, I'm running out of places to hide the bodies," end quote. Both brothers were found guilty of murder and were behind bars by the next Christmas, where they expected to serve out 30-year sentences. I mean, that sign, like, "Don't wind me up, I'm running out of places to hide bodies," like, that's just dumb luck that he's got a sign like that. You know, like, people put that kind of stuff on, like, cars and, like, you know?
It's just...
It's just very unfortunate that that was on his, but, like, screw him. Him and his brother.
Yeah. To be honest, like, they seem they already have that killer mentality, so they must have had something wrong with it, or they must have talked to something or watched something.
Yeah, how do they just decide to, "Hey, bro, help me with something," like...
I mean, like, if my brother ever told me to help him with something, I wouldn't ask questions, but I'd be concerned.
That's horrifying.
How? I wouldn't ask questions to my brother.
You're his big brother. Would you not try and, like, "Bro, we shouldn't really kill this person"?
Oh, I thought you meant, like, if he killed the person and I need to hide the body. Oh, dude, I would be there. I would be like, "I don't know what you're talking about. But to be honest, bro, like, you should probably turn yourself in." But, I mean, I'm not going to say anything if anything happens, but you should probably turn yourself in.
Yeah, you need to put your foot down. You're his big brother. Damn you, Jacob.
Ain't no snitch.
I don't say snitch on him, but, like, really get your mum involved. She'd sort him out.
No, she wouldn't even let me cut down a like tree that's in the back of the yard. It's like,
she'd make your brother turn himself in. We're just picking on Jacob. It's all right, he ain't gonna listen.
Yeah, badmouth the guy that's not here. It's not himself.
He was big brother, defend him.
Exactly, that's what I'm saying.
Fair enough.
I totally back him up.
All right.
If he killed someone, I'd totally bury the body with him, but I would say, "Hey, bro, you need to turn yourself in. And I've got something on you now if you don't turn yourself in." So,
bro, you have to do my chores for a week now.
What do you mean a week? You're going to cut down all my
He's going to have to do all of the trees.
Like, he's going to be doing the mowing for the next like 5 weeks. In fact, you know what? I hope my brother kills someone so that I've got that on.
Ashton, can't say that. Anyway.
To be honest, at a court of law, you'd like play that. And then...
Yeah, exactly. That's like that guy having the sign saying, "Don't annoy me, I'm running out of places to hide the bodies," yeah, or something.
You know,
they have this. The guy they're listening.
Was it the making the murderer? You know, the guy that had the microphone on?
Oh, the microphone, and he went into the bathroom? Oh, my goodness.
Oh, they got you.
Yep.
They got you.
That was so bad.
You gotta remember that. Bunch of legal stuff, I definitely did.
All right, this next one, it just gives me the absolute chills. So, Bruce...
It's cold.
Yeah. Bruce Pardo dressed as Santa and massacred his ex-wife's family. Bruce Pardo, man, this guy's a nasty piece of work.
Hope he doesn't get pardoned.
No, you'll find out what happens to him. He doesn't get pardoned. On Christmas Eve in 2008, Bruce Pardo wore a Santa Claus suit, got into his rental car, and drove to Covina, California, where his ex-wife Sylvia and her family were having a Christmas party. But Pardo wasn't there to join the festivities. He was there to kill. This is so heartbreaking, this case. So, about time for true crime. Shout out Abby and Ellie. They covered this one. This was the first time that I heard about this case, and oh my goodness, like it absolutely broke my heart. So, as NBC News reported, Pardoe had been prepping for the massacre for months. The July before, he bought ammunition and started building a fuel spraying device. He literally built like a flamethrower. Like, it's insane. Mean. It's mean. Not mean for what he does with it.
Oh, I didn't. No, I'm just like, that he bought a flamethrower. I never asked what he did.
You're such a boy. You're just like, flamethrower? Oh, nice.
Yeah, nice.
Not when you find out what he does with it.
Okay.
Anyway, in September, he ordered a Santa Claus suit. And in December, just 6 days after he and Sylvia finalized their divorce, Pardoe drove to his ex-wife's parents' house and put his plan into action. So, this is so awful. It was, like, getting quite late in the evening, and they were all sitting around, like, having dinner and playing games or doing whatever. And he knocks on the door, right? Pardoe, and he's wearing the Santa Claus suit.
Mm.
His wife's 8-year-old niece answered the door, so excited to see Santa. Like, she's like, oh my gosh, Christmas Eve, and look who's at the door. And she opened it, and he shot her in the face.
Rough.
Yeah, it's like she'd been so excited that Santa's arrived on Christmas Eve, and she's like awake to see him.
With a shotgun or like a pistol, or how did he shoot her in the face? Like, cause that changes a lot.
With a gun.
A shotgun, like, it's just she, more rougher if it's actually like a spread gun, because she'd lose her head, whereas like a
pistol
shot to the head.
It must have. I'm glad you're thinking that far into it. She actually survived, I'm pretty sure.
Oh, wow.
That 8-year-old niece, she was shot in the face, but she survived. Yeah.
Well, that's a fighter.
Yeah.
She'd been blessed that day.
She had been, but thank God. How awful. Like, that moment of, like, pure child innocent excitement. Like,
eight.
It's Santa, 8 years old.
And you go to
Santa, and it's Christmas Eve.
She'd be and scared then she opens to go the to door. Any mall oh, during Christmas. Yeah,
no.
As soon as she sees anyone dressed as Santa, she would.
Yeah.
Oh, I would.
Yeah. It's.
I wouldn't trust anything.
Gives me the creeps. So, according to NBC News, he then entered the home and massacred Sylvia's entire family, including Sylvia, her parents, her two brothers and their wives, her sister, and her 17-year-old nephew.
With the flamethrower, like.
Not with guns and whatnot. There was lots of other people in the house, like, so who Sylvia's wife were. You know, Latino, so there was heaps of them.
Oh, yeah.
There was, like, one of the kids had, like, gone upstairs and was playing video games, didn't hear anything that was going on. Like, he was just down there, he was just playing this game, he had no idea what was going on. Bruce Pardoe was just, like, letting loose, it was just ridiculous. So, anyway, quote, I have a feeling I know who it is, and quote, one of Sylvia's sisters who managed to escape Pardoe's rampage. And so that sister was the 8-year-old's mother, and so she escaped, and she, like, ran to the neighbours or something, and there is a recording of the 911 call, and it's just the most heartbreaking thing you'll ever hear. Like, it's just life. So, like, she's screaming, she's crying. So she called 911. She identified Bruce Pardoe and told the operator that they're going through a divorce. But Bruce Pardoe's massacre didn't go entirely to plan. When the fuel from his spraying device unexpectedly ignited, he was burned so severely that his Santa suit fused to his skin.
Oh.
Pardoe fled to his brother's empty home, where he fatally shot himself. So he did have an escape plan, and he was going to make a run for it. But he, because of how severely burnt he was, like, he would have had to go to a hospital and he would have been found out, so he just killed himself. Investigators then chillingly discovered that Pardoe had planned more than one Christmas murder. Not only had he massacred his ex-wife's family, but he left one of his two rental cars booby-trapped near his brother's home, with the other parked outside the home of his ex-wife's divorce attorney. So he was going to kill the lawyer who helped his wife through the divorce proceedings.
And his brother.
No. So the booby cat. Trap near his. Oh, actually, yeah. Yeah, he was going to kill his brother.
His brother and his divorce attorney. So the brother must have had something to do with, like, being like.
Well, no, because he went to his brother's home. Like, I think his brother, like, knew. Like, it's just insane. And I think it's this guy, and listeners out there will have to correct me if I'm wrong. But Bruce was.
How do you snap like that?
Well, Bruce has had a very coloured past. Now, again, I hope I'm thinking of the right person, but he, so his first marriage, he stood his soon-to-be wife, his fiancée, at the altar and went on the honeymoon by himself. He just didn't show up, and he just went on the honeymoon that she paid for. He just went, and she's like, what the fuck? His second marriage, he and that wife, they had a son, and the son had like a pretty awful accident when he was young, and like from all accounts it sounds like it was a complete accident, but then he suffered from brain damage and was, you know, like mentally and physically disabled. And Bruce was like, I'm out, and like didn't pay any like support or anything like that. Like, he's just a complete and total dick. And then he met Sylvia, and it sounded like things were right, but then she was like, bro, you mental. Like, there's something wrong with you. And so she left him, and he was like...
Oh, rough.
Yeah. I think that's the same guy that... Yeah, I think that's the same guy. I really hope so, otherwise I've just combined two bad people, but I think that's the same guy.
Rough.
But I just think of that 8-year-old girl. But yeah, I'm actually pretty sure that the 8-year-old survived. I think the gun, like, it went through her jaw or something like that. I'd have to look that up. But that would just...
So upsetting for the family.
Oh, absolutely. There was heaps of kids in that house. And he shot the brothers and their wives, and only one child died, the 17-year-old nephew. I actually think he was the one that was upstairs playing the games, and then he came down like, hey, what's going on? Oh, fuck. And everyone's being shot at, and all the other kids kind of like ran out the back and whatnot. Yes, that
was a rough one.
That
was
pretty awful.
One.
It was.
I'll call that too rough.
Too rough.
Yeah.
Too rough. This next one I've actually never heard of before, so this is kind of a first for me.
Cool.
This is the Christmas murder of Christy Barmu, the teen accused of being a witch. All right, so bear with me. Again, I'm reading synopsis of these. I hope the information is as accurate as it can be without doing a deep dive. But anyway, so in 2010, 15-year-old Christy Barmu travelled from Paris to London with four of his siblings to spend the holidays with his older sister, Magali, and her partner, Eric Bakubi. But instead of celebrating the holidays with Christy and the others, Magali and Bakubi accused the siblings of being witches. Bakubi claimed that Christy and others had brought kendoki, the word for witchcraft in their native Democratic Republic of the Congo, into his East London home. He and Magali focused their attention on Christy in particular and accused him of casting spells. Though Christy denied doing this, Bakubi and Magali subjected the teen to a horrifying torture for days. According to The Guardian, they knocked out his teeth with a heavy bar and hammer, smashed ceramic floor tiles and bottles on his head, and used pliers to twist his ears.
Wow.
Oh my goodness, that's the crime scene. Right. On Christmas Day, Bakubi and Magali put Christy in the bathtub for ritual cleansing, but the teenager was weak from torture and lack of food and water, and his siblings later told investigators that he begged to die before he slipped beneath the water and drowned. Quote, it was as if they were obsessed by witchcraft, end quote. Christy's sister Kelly later testified, according to The Guardian. Quote, they decided we had come there to kill them. Christy asked for forgiveness. He asked again and again. Magali did absolutely nothing. She didn't give a damn. She said we deserved it, end quote. Though Bakubi's attorney argued that he suffered from mental health issues, a judge found both Bakubi and Magali guilty. For their Christmas murder, Bakubi was sentenced to a minimum of 30 years in prison, and Magali Barmu was sentenced to a minimum of 25 years. That's awful. I hate torture. I hate it. I mean, I don't think anyone...
So just get it over with, man.
I just don't think anyone particularly likes it, but you know, I just...
No, people do like it, because apparently it happens.
Does that mean they like it?
No, I don't think the people who
get
it done...
Oh, you mean
the people who commit it?
I was about to say.
Yeah, sorry. It's the people that commit it. 100% they like it.
But these people, like, they think they're doing it for a good cause, you know what I mean? Like, I'm trying to get it out of you. I'm trying
to
cleanse
Manson
you.
Murder. Oh, no, that's the thing.
The Manson murders, what have they got to do with it?
No, I was just thinking, like, imagine like, being tortured, right? And then you genuinely don't know the answer. You genuinely don't know the answer.
Eh?
And then, like, you're trying to do it. They're like, no, you do know the answer. You do know the answer. And you're just like, I don't know the answer. And really then all of a sudden they give in. And then they're like, okay, it was me. Because you're getting pressed so much. Yeah. And you're like,
you just tell people what they want to hear, right?
And that's how a lot of wrongful convictions come out. That's also a lot of how, yeah.
Yeah. Oh, absolutely. Absolutely.
Trapping out.
So this next crime was covered, again, amazingly by Evil Pudding Podcast. Shout out Courtney and Patrick. They are my favourites. I love them. But they covered this crime. I think it must have been around last Christmas. And it's just, again, horrific. And I literally know that the title of this episode is, this website is 9 Horrifying Murders. It's a pretty accurate description. So this is how Ronald Gene Simmons massacred his entire family at Christmas. Ronald Gene Simmons planned a special surprise for his family during Christmas time in 1987. Then he methodically killed his wife, his children, and his grandchildren at their home in Dover, Arkansas, before embarking on an additional killing spree that targeted strangers and his co-workers. Simmons, whose violence may have been incited by his wife's secret desire to divorce him, started killing on December 22nd when he shot his wife and oldest son and then strangled his 3-year-old granddaughter. He lay in wait for 4 more of his children to come home and then killed them as well by strangling them to death and drowning them in a rain barrel. 4 days passed, and then more members of Simmons' family walked straight into his web. On December 26th, he shot and killed his son and daughter-in-law and strangled their 20-month-old son. Then when his daughter Sheila arrived, who Simmons may have molested, he killed her and her 2 children. But Simmons didn't end his Christmas murders there. On December 28th, he like buried their bodies. He had like, was it cars or like parts all around the yard? And he like buried them in the parts, like underneath it was, and he like built a mass pit, like grave pit.
So it was like a communal grave.
Yeah, because they lived on like, what was it? The murder on something hill. And they lived.
Murder Hill.
No, the murder on something hill, like the name of the street or something that it was, the hill that it was on. And they were very isolated up there. He had quite like a big house and stuff like that. And he just killed them and buried them. And obviously, you know, this started on December 22nd, and then December 26th, and like nobody knew otherwise, you know?
Yeah.
It's just awful. Yeah. But then on December 28th, Simmons drove to nearby Russellville and continued to kill. He murdered a secretary at a law firm who may have rebuffed his advances, then shot and killed more people at an oil company, a convenience store, and at Woodline Motor Freight, his former workplace. All in all, Simmons killed 16 people. He surrendered to the police without a fight, but never explicitly stated why he decided to kill his family and so many others. Over the course of 2 trials in 1988 and 1989, Ronald Gene Simmons was found guilty of all 16 murders. He was sentenced to death and died by lethal injection on June 25th, 1990, at the age of 49. Like, he just had some mad psychotic break, I reckon.
Yeah. To be honest, like, there's not many people that go over, like, not only just kill in one town, they travel.
Well, it's because they were on a hill, like, it was literally the nearby.
And his name's Gene Simmons. It's like, it's not like he kicks out a kiss just before.
Ronald Gene Simmons.
Oh, man.
Nearly. All right, this is the last of the horrifying murders before we get onto something a little bit lighter, because this has been heavy. So the last one is Michelle Anderson and the 2007 Carnation Murders. Like Ronald Gene Simmons, Michelle Anderson used a family gathering on Christmas as a means to murder. On December 24th, 2007, Anderson and her boyfriend, James McEnroe, killed her parents, her brother and sister-in-law. What?
Was it McEnroe?
McEnroe? M-C-E-N-R-O-E? McEnroe?
Son of Enroe.
Son of Enroe, yeah. Anderson and her boyfriend James McEnroe killed her parents, her brother and sister-in-law, and her brother's 2 children in Carnation, Washington. According to the Seattle Post-Intelligencer, the senior deputy prosecutor at Anderson's trial noted that she arrived at her parents' house armed not only with guns, but also, quote, the trust of the people inside that home and a hatred for the people inside that home, end quote. That's a pretty big statement. That's pretty heavy. Anderson had planned the Christmas murders for weeks. She later claimed that she was driven to kill because her brother had allegedly failed to pay back a $40,000 loan. Whoa. Not only had her parents allegedly taken his side, but they'd also asked her to start paying rent for the mobile home she had kept on the property. On Christmas Eve, Anderson and McEnroe put their plan into action. They first killed Anderson's parents, then lay in wait for Anderson's brother, sister-in-law, and niece and nephew. When the family of four arrived, Anderson and McEnroe gunned them down. A harrowing 911 call placed by Anderson's sister-in-law, Erica, managed to record the family's final moments. According to the Seattle Times, Erica can be heard shouting, "Not the kids, no," before Anderson killed her and 5-year-old daughter and 3-year-old son. God, that's awful.
That's rough, man.
Anderson and McEnroe returned to the property while police were conducting their investigation and prompted the investigator suspicion when they failed to ask about the family's welfare or why they were... Or even why there were so many police at the house. So they were just like, "Oh, yo, you guys are here? Cool. I don't know where the family is. No idea."
Oh, I'm just going to come into the house.
Yeah, what an idiot. Anderson later confessed to the murders, and she and McEnroe were both sentenced to life in prison. So, yeah. The story of the Carnation murders, like so many other Christmas crimes on this list, shows that darkness can lurk even on the most joyful days of the year.
Ooh, spook. What are we doing, Christmas, or are we doing
Halloween? So, yeah, those were, according to allthatsinteresting.com, the 9 horrifying murders that occurred at Christmas time. That was pretty heavy. How are you feeling?
Yeah, I'm feeling pretty fun. Some of them were pretty ruthless.
Yeah.
Jeez, some of them were pretty ruthless.
Well, let's...
It's that time of year, right?
Yep, have a drink. Wash that down. I hope you lovely listeners are doing okay, because we are going to move on to a slightly lighter segment called 16 of the Weirdest and Craziest Christmas Crimes, and this is from dgriffinlaw.com. So, are you ready for this one?
Yeah, let's go.
And these are just, like, crimes. They're not murders, they're not gruesome, they're not graphic. Again, it's just okay. A bit lighter now, okay?
All right.
The first one, and they're a lot shorter, don't worry. First one's called Christmas Tree Snatching from the Boy Scouts. 2 UMass students went full-on Zoomers and tried to get away with stealing a Christmas tree the Boy Scouts were selling to fundraise for local troops. They were apparently put up to this by a dare from a third party. Their charges included larceny and a $250 fine.
Was that all? $250 fine.
Yeah, for stealing a Christmas tree.
That's weak effort, man. They should have got 40 hours community service mowing the lawn.
Well, they have larceny charges. I don't know how old, I don't know who actually took it, but I've got that on their record now. All right. Number 2. Actually stealing cute puppies instead of just saying you want to. You know when you walk by a cute dog and you think to yourself, "It's so fluffy, I want to steal it." Well, this guy actually had the guts to carry it out. Except he broke into a home in the process. It's a bit of a chicken and egg situation. What came first, the puppies or the home invasion? Surely, if he saw the puppies first, then we have to wonder just how cute these little things were for him to drive him to commit home invasion. Some guy broke into a house and stole some cute puppies.
Were they, at the door? Were they at the window, scraping at the window when he walked past? He was, just finished his last pint at the bar. Yeah. You know what? I haven't shot for anything from my partner. I'm going to get her a puppy. Where do we get puppies? Looks over to the left, and there's 10 puppies just, scraping on the door.
101 Dalmatian style.
You know what? I'm sure they won't mind if I take one.
They won't notice.
Take one.
I have to lie, there is one murder in here, in this one, but it's
not. Okay, that's okay.
Okay, number 3 is called No Beer, Prepared to be Stabbed by a Ceramic Squirrel.
I hope this is in America, because otherwise I'm going to like...
Yeah, of course it's America.
Yeah, America.
Some folks like to imbibe the holiday spirit a bit too much. A woman in South Carolina stabbed a man on Well, it was actually her husband. A woman in South Carolina stabbed her husband on Christmas for not coming home without beer. Yes, you read that right. When officers confronted her, she tried to say that he slipped and fell, but then couldn't explain her bloody hands and clothes. She was charged with criminal domestic violence. Side note, somewhere in South Carolina, there could be a bloody ceramic squirrel sitting inside an evidence bag. What a sight. He came home and she said, like, yeah, why haven't you got me any, because I read this on another article. And he said, it's Christmas, everywhere's closed. And she was pissed and started attacking him with a ceramic squirrel. You should see your face.
I promise to always bring you beer.
Thank you.
Just
thank
before. You.
Don't
just
even
before
like beer. Huh? Don't even like beer.
That's what you. That's apparently what she's going to kill over.
Yeah,
so.
That's what they do in South Carolina.
South Carolina. You got no sub. You got no. You got no happy dads.
Number four, getting stuck inside a chimney naked. A man nicknamed.
I did it on my Thursday.
Or was that just a Thursday for you?
Yeah, we don't have a...
We don't have a chimney, have so a chimney, I don't know where you're going.
We used to have a chimney. Yeah.
A man nicknamed the Santa Claus Burglar was stuck in a chimney for 6 hours while trying to escape the scene.
He had to lose weight to slip down the chimney. So he would be fat when he started out, got caught halfway through, and then he
what, and over 6 hours?
6 hours, yeah. What, him sitting there with the fire going? He would have sweated it out.
Seattle firefighters pulled the naked, yes, naked for unclear reasons, man from...
One thing I know about Santa is he's always naked.
Always naked, of course. Man from the chimney after a neighbor reported someone screaming for help. The man claimed his friend, who presumably was also on the roof with him, tossed his backpack into the chimney and he was trying to retrieve it. Apparently his clothes also burned up somewhere in the mix. He was charged with residential burglary and a 17-month jail sentence. Just think of the shame, but also like the fear, like stuck in a chimney for 6 hours. Like you are pissing and pooping down somewhere.
I'm also thinking like you go into the holding cell and then one guy comes up and says, what are you in for?
Not so tough now, are you?
I was naked in the chimney.
Oh,
waiting
dear.
To come down.
Oh, jeez. But, like, the shame of being pulled out of there, right?
Yeah, Homer Simpson did it. Oh. He uses fat to hold off a nuclear explosion. If he can do that,
He's our saviour. Old Homer.
Well, it happened in Springfield, not here.
Well, a nuclear weapon would probably take out the entire planet.
Nuclear.
Number five, cocaine-filled Santa dolls. It is safe to say that people associate snow with Christmas, at least up here in New England. We're not in New England, the person who wrote this is
you know
in
when
New
Prime
England.
Does a giveaway? Except it's the cartel.
It's cocaine.
That's what I'm saying. The Prime does a giveaway of like a solid gold, like Prime bottle.
Do they?
Oh, they did.
I didn't know that.
Yeah, they did a whole like spectacle thing where they did like New York and London, and they did like everyone got a code when they went into, when they got an exclusive to the thing. Everyone got a code, and then like if they could put their code in, and then it was the right code, they won a like solid gold Prime bottle.
Yeah,
I was thinking that, except the cartel instead of a solid gold Prime bottle, it's a Santa Claus full of cocaine.
You can tell you overthink, eh?
Why?
You put so much thought into that.
I'm trying to write comedy here, right?
Anyway, it is safe to say that people associate snow with Christmas, at least up here in New England. We're not in New England. The person who wrote this is in New England. And there is something special
There's
about...
There's this thing as New England.
There's only the one. The it's motherland.
America. It's America.
Stop trying to copy us.
A bunch of revolutionaries. Abolitionists. Sorry. Carry on. Sorry.
It is safe to say that people associate snow with Christmas, and there is something special about that bright and soft white powder being a part of it. In this case, Santa brought snow, all right, but the snow was actually cocaine. Police in Rio de Janeiro... Wow. I said that wrong. Janeiro. No, I said that wrong. Rio de Janeiro. No, Janeiro. Rio de Janeiro. Why am I saying that wrong? Police in Rio de Janeiro found Santa dolls filled with cocaine and ornaments filled with marijuana. There you go. Someone's having an interesting Christmas. Next one is going bananas for snakes. This man from the greater New Orleans area stole three snakes and a cash register from a local pet store. He claimed the snakes were a Christmas present for his son. A ball python and two boa snakes, in addition to the cash register, were missing when the owner opened for business that day. He was charged with simple burglary. He just wanted some snakes for his son. How's still three snakes? How do you carry three snakes and a cash register?
No, you just get the snakes to swallow the cash register.
Oh, of course.
They just eat it because, you know, like snakes can like eat anything because they just look at their jaw and then swallow it.
Yeah.
But then I think that guy's murdering a snake.
I think so. I think that would be quite hard to get back out. You have to, like, you know when you try and get like the last drop
out of the toothpaste? You're like squeezing it.
You have to do that to get the cash register out the snake.
You
gotta get
two cinder blocks, to be honest, and then just kind of like draw
it through.
You saw how Dave was late. He didn't get that. Steve was late. Yeah,
all right, the next one is SantaCon turns into SantaCon. Uh-huh.
Is it because they carry on?
You'll find out. You either love or hate the drunken tradition of SantaCon, where a bunch of drunken Santas troll the streets of numerous cities in a massive pub crawl. We don't have that in New Zealand.
We should have that in New Zealand.
During this drunken revelry, one Santa decided to con the bank and make off with an undisclosed amount of cash. He then disappeared into a crowd of people dressed exactly like him. Local businesses should actually take that fact into account because it is an advantage would-be thieves during these type of events can exploit. I imagine the best way to spot this guy is to look for the Santa buying the whole crowd of Santas a shot. So I don't think they actually found him.
It's like that guy is like the at the Tokyo Zoo. I think it was Tokyo, and he went to the Tokyo Zoo.
Yeah.
And then he used to like help people with parking.
Oh yeah.
And then he was like working there for ages, and then all of a sudden he was helping people park, and he was like, hey, come over here. And then after 10 years or something, like five, like, I don't know, someone Google it for me. Yeah. They're like. Someone was like, hey, why'd you get rid of the nice parking guy? I was like, parking's always been free in this place. Like, I don't understand. Crazy, like, eh? And then, so this guy's been going on for like 10 years or 5 years. I don't know. Don't quote me on it. But
sometime.
A long time collecting $5 that weren't his.
No.
They weren't his.
That's crazy. I remember you telling me that. Okay, number 8. Faking a heart attack to steal toys. Here is the situation. Two men in Walmart. Man 1 fakes a heart attack in front of the security guards to create a diversion. Man 2 uses this diversion to make it out the door with $369 worth of toys.
So are you reading actually reading a crime, or are you just reading instructions on how to...
Instructions?
You're reading instructions.
Catch us next week. Oh no, we'll have to do it tomorrow.
Catch me outside.
How about that? Just because I've got red head now.
I'm just saying, have we made $1 million yet?
No.
Keep saying it.
Catch me outside. How about it? Okay.
I'm going to start our OnlyFans now.
Oh, stop. You're too late for that. You're like 11 years too late for that.
Yeah, 11 years. I should have.
Should have started when you were 18.
12 years ago. Should have started when I was 17.
Yeah. Get the photos ready. Oof, anyway. So, all right, you want the instructions so we can pull this off tomorrow? Man 1 fakes a heart attack in front of the security guards to create a diversion. Man 2 uses this diversion to make it out the front door with $369 worth of toys. Once Man 2 leaves, Man 1 is suddenly okay and leaves in the same car with Man 2. I wonder if they actually thought people would buy this. They had a CCTV camera that picked them up. Once they realised how much money was gone, they were both caught. Because he was like, there's actually the video footage of like the man, he's like pushing the trolley and he goes, and he like falls down. And he's like, I can't get up. And he's a bit of an older bloke, so people kind of believed it. And he's like, I'm all right now. He just gets up
just
and
leaves. Gets up like he's like, oh, it's all good.
So I passed. Stupid.
I have seen though, like the in England, what they've done is like they would, two of them work together. One of them come in, buy the legitimate items.
Yeah.
And then the other one would come in with the receipt that the other guy came of what he bought.
Mm.
Pick up all the items from the same bag because they'd empty the bag. Yeah. And then be like, hey, like my wife just called me. She said she's bought all this stuff, so I've got the receipt here. Like,
yeah.
Can you refund me? And then they'll get refunded the whole thing, and they've just got a whole bunch of stuff for free.
But that like, was like then, that scene in what was it, like Ocean's something, that's the female one with like Sandra Bullock and Rihanna and all that. Have you seen that one?
No, I've seen the original.
No, I know. Men. But no, there's the like a female version one.
Really?
And it's
like a female Ghostbusters.
Yeah, sort of. But anyway, and there's a scene where it's Sandra Bullock. She walks in and she like puts on all this like, she grabs all this like jewelry and makeup and things like that because she's on the run. And she walks up to the counter and she's just like, oh look, I'm gonna have to like return these. Like they're just not, you know, right for me. But and they're like, oh, have you got your receipt? And she goes, no, I don't. But like, you know, they haven't been worn. They haven't used them. I bought them recently. They're like, oh, we're going to need a receipt. She goes, oh, well, never mind. Can I have a bag to put these in? She like gives her a bag. She just walks out with like all this real expensive and she like pickpockets on the way. It's such a badass scene. Sandra Bullock is like, oh, yum. She's so good.
Sandra Bullock's badass.
She's just mummy vibes. Like,
I'm just saying. Like,
oh, I know you'd tap that. That's fine.
Oh, take that hard.
All right, settle down.
I'm just saying, it's like, how often do you get to that? It's like, would you go ham for Ryan Reynolds? Like, would you?
I mean, yeah, no.
Okay.
Because I respect Blake Lively as a woman. Because
if she said, hey.
I'll be like, think of the children, tonight. Blake.
You're with us tonight.
I'm not getting into this conversation. Anyway, next one is giant marijuana Christmas tree. A woman boasted to her neighbours that she had the best Christmas tree in the world. That Christmas tree was actually a giant marijuana plant. Police in Chile found 21 cannabis plants, 29 bags of other drugs, and 2 shotguns in the woman's house. Apparently, the authorities had been investigating her for a month, but didn't actually expect to find a marijuana plant being used as a Christmas tree. Just imagine with like stars and ornaments.
Snoop Dogg's auntie needs to like understand, like just chill out. Snoop Dogg's auntie just needs to chill out.
But the fact that she's like them boasting about it, like
yeah, come over and see my Christmas tree.
Oh my goodness!
My son's Calvin.
All right, number 10. Park Wars: A New Spot. The parking lot is arguably the most vicious place within the proximity of shopping centres across the world before Christmas. You know the feeling you get when that precious space close to the door opens up after 10 minutes of driving around? Your heart rate increases, you start sweating, and you go into immediate stalk and defend mode as you try to dirty look and honk at that person trying to steal your spot. Police in Connecticut charged 3 women with breach of peace after a brawl broke out in the parking lot. The first move, an orange peel was launched at one car from another.
What the most smallest thing that ever...
Stupid thing, like, just go find another one. Like, how do 3, like, assuming these are 3 different cars, unless there's 2 women in one and one in the other, but, like, whoever was there first, like, what the hell?
Why are they throwing orange peels at each other, though? Like,
because one obviously tried it, you know, went into the park and they're like, hey, move. And then threw the orange peel and they're like, oh no, you're not throwing an orange peel at me.
Who had the whole orange though?
Maybe a kid in the back.
I was trying to.
You're asking the big questions here and I don't have any big answers.
Yeah, I was going to say, who had the orange? Like, if anything, like, if you're that mad with someone, you should throw the whole orange, not just a peel of it. You respect that person that much.
Yeah.
It's a level of respect thing. Like, she didn't even care about the whole, like, fresh.
I can imagine, though, it might be like oh, that's so annoying, like a toss out the window, like, you know,
it's
like
not to make a smudge on the thing, because if you throw the hot orange, then all of a sudden you have to clean it, and like, that's real annoying. But
yeah,
if you just do the peel,
yeah, and it'd be like, oh, like, screw you.
Yeah.
And then I was like, hey, hey.
It's like, oh, yo, citrus.
You need your citrus. Vitamin what? Is that one? Vitamin D? No, vitamin...
no, vitamin A.
Is that the citrus one? Is that one you get from, like, lemons and oranges and stuff?
I think vitamin C is the one.
Oh, yeah, it's vitamin A you get from...
the same body. Because you can rub orange peel on the body. Don't quote me on that.
Well, you can. I'm not sure what it will do for you, but I physically like, can.
It's just like sculling bleach. Like, don't do that. Don't quote me on anything.
All right, next one is a DUI while driving a Christmas float. A man was charged with DUI and 18 counts of kidnapping and assaulting on an officer after he was arrested during a South Carolina Christmas parade. He was driving a float full of children and adults from a local dance studio while drunk. At one point during the parade, he pulled out to pass the trunk in front of him. It sped down Main Street for 3 miles, running a red light in the process. Oh my goodness.
That's escalated terrifying. So quickly. Because, like, terrifying. Oh, I get it. But it's like all of a sudden kidnapping is like, oh, wow. It's like that. It seems like they kind of bring the judicial system straight down on them.
That'd be so scary for those kids.
Yeah, 100%.
You wouldn't want to be part of another 100%. Christmas parade ever again. A couple was given a no-contact order after assaulting each other over an unappreciated Christmas gift in New Hampshire. The boy complained about getting a Wii system instead of a remote-controlled plane that he asked for. When his girlfriend decided to leave, he grabbed her. She turned around and hit him.
First of all. Wii system?
Well, this was
is
like...
Is that all she's got in there?
Yeah, so she got him a Wii system, and he's like, I want this! I want a remote control plane! And so she
what
was
a
like...
nerd.
Yeah, she's like, screw you!
I'm not talking about the girl, I'm talking about the guy. Yeah. He's like, what
so
a
she
nerd.
Went to leave, he like pulled her hair, so she turned around and she whacked him.
And knocked him out. And then he slipped. And then,
they were given a no-contact order to each other.
Well, they must have hated each other.
Yeah, like
there must have, there would have been so much stuff leading up to that
but
point.
You can see, like, and this is what I'm saying, like, this would be you. Not in the way that you, like, grab me and hit you. No. So what I meant by that is, like, because the gift that I've got you for Christmas, I feel like you'll open it and be like, I don't want this. I needed something else. And I'm so worried that I've got you the wrong thing.
I mean, to be honest, I wouldn't, like, grab your hair and...
No, that's what I'm saying.
Like,
that's why I said this sounds like you in a good way and not in a good way. Like...
Users, listen. I am not a wife abuser.
No, I'm not saying that. But I can just... Like, I'm so worried about when you open the present that I've got for you that you'll be like...
You got me the Turok shirt. I'm happy.
No, the other present that I got for you. That you're like, oh, thanks, but I don't want this. I'm so scared. So we're up to number 13, we're nearly done. A man dressed as Santa attacked a 74-year-old woman with a 2x4 plank. Oh my goodness.
Where did you get the 2x4 plank from?
Well, they were at a mall in Atlanta.
Why did you go to Walmart and he'd be like, hey, I need 2x4. Why do you need 2x4?
He dressed as Santa and he attacked a 74-year-old woman with a 2x4 plank at a mall in Atlanta. There didn't seem to be a motive, and he also threatened other bystanders with the plank in case they tried to intervene. He was charged with 2 counts of aggravated assault. That poor woman!
Where did he get the 2x4 from? Whoa. Did he have it before he went in there? Did he bust it out of the Santa throne?
Workshop? With all the elves?
I was thinking he broke the throne.
I don't know, but
I'm more like, I want to fixate on that, other, where did he get the 2x4?
Don't fixate on it!
I'm not trying to say he's innocent. He shouldn't have done it. But it's like, where did he get the 2x4 from?
Why does it matter?
Did he walk in, tell the elves, be like, shh, I've got a 2x4. Just wait. And then he was waiting for the fairs. How many people did he see on the day before? I've got a lot of valid questions.
Oh my gosh, you'll like this one. This is a funny one. All right, number 14.
Okay, we'll neglect that one, but I still want to know where he got the 2x4 from. Anyway, Karen.
Number 14. Breaking in and decorating.
Did they use a 2x4?
I don't know. Forget the 2x4.
He had it from nowhere.
It was at a mall. It could have been a hardware store in the mall. I don't know.
Did he say, hey, wait, hang on, and then go off to the hardware store?
He might have just had it from his house. I don't know. Anyway, number 14. Breaking.
I don't know any. I don't know any Santa who is a 2x4 just resting by his, like, throne.
I want to fucking smack you with a 2x4 in a minute. Can you just drop
what,
it?
You have one, like, where'd you get your one from?
You don't want to know where I keep my 2x4. Just relax. Stop fixating on the 2x4. The next one. I'm up to 14. You're nearly up with your Christmas jokes. Breaking in and decorating. A man high on bath salts broke into a house in Ohio and started to decorate. An 11-year-old boy found the man decorating and playing with his toys when he called his mother, who was at the neighbor's house. The man reportedly lit candles and hung a wreath on the garage door when watching TV. When he was caught, he said, oh, I'm sorry, I'll just take my things and go. He was then arrested and charged with burglary. Oh my goodness. Oh, that's funny. That's funny. Alright, number 15. Baby Jesus GPS. Next time you think about stealing that baby Jesus from the local church, think again. I don't think I've ever had that thought, have you?
No, I didn't know that there was baby Jesus outside of church.
No, you know, like inside church when they have like the nativity kind of like figurines and statues.
Oh,
out.
So you're stealing one from Back and Save to Tony.
Yeah, Back and Save. Yeah.
Got it.
Think again, because it could be implanted with a GPS device. A woman was arrested in Florida on theft of the baby Jesus after GPS tracked it down. This is supposedly a fairly common crime during the season, and a number of churches have started using GPS and camera systems to deter/locate thieves. That reminds me, there's a really, really cute movie on Netflix. It's like half hour long, Angela's Christmas, and it's that little Irish family in Limerick, and they go to church, and little Angela, she's like, oh, the sweet baby Jesus, I just wanted to keep him warm. And she, like, stole him from the church and she took him home and, like, wrapped him up. And then her brother's like, I'm telling Mom, you stole the baby Jesus. She's like, I just want to keep him warm. And it's just the cutest, like, most innocent film ever. It's so sweet. But that's great. Like, they have to put GPS devices in them because it's a common crime. That's insane. That's insane. All right, and number 16 for the weirdest and craziest crimes at Christmas. What does Santa have in his sack? Weed. While most of us dream of a white Christmas, this guy from California was dreaming of a green Christmas. He allegedly packaged and handed out marijuana in napkins to customers at a Buffalo Wild Wings in Monterey. He approached customers while they were eating and told them Santa had a gift for them. When police searched him, they found over 2 pounds of prepackaged marijuana. He was arrested for furnishing marijuana. Just like, hey, Santa's got a gift for you.
Imagine how many is like, many people like woke up on Christmas morning trying those cookies. Being like, it's like, why am I so frustrated with you? But like, I feel so relaxed.
But I'm also fine.
I'm good.
Oh my goodness. Well, that was the 9 horrifying murders and the 16 weirdest and craziest crimes. And before we wrap up, I'm going to hand over to Ashton and he's going to tell us some Christmas jokes. And I'm very excited. Ashton's very funny. And I'm very excited to hear your jokes. Are you ready?
I reckon we could go.
Yeah? All right.
I got some stuff.
Spotlight's on you. I'm going to move the mic closer. Give me 1 second.
We'll start a flight.
Go on then.
I reckon we'll start a flight. What did Santa do when he went speed dating? He pulled a cracker.
Oh my goodness.
What happens to elves when they are naughty? Santa gives them the sack.
Oh, I thought you said owls.
Elves.
Yeah, I thought you said owls. I was like...
It's Christmas time. That's why I would confused. I talk about owls?
That's why I was confused.
What happened to the man that stole the advent calendar?
He got 24 days.
He got 25 days.
Ah! Some of them only have 24.
You got 24? Who's Rudolph's favorite pop star? Beyonce. That's so good. Sorry, baby. That's fucking hilarious. Beyonce Slay. Who hides in the bakery at Christmas?
Pardon?
Who hides in the bakery at Christmas? A mince pie. Oh, here we go. What Santa's favorite singer?
Beyonce Slay.
Elvis Presley.
Hey, the king. Elvis Presley. Thank you very much.
Why can't Christmas trees knit?
Because their needles fall out.
Because they're losing needles.
Ah, let's go.
You're close. You're getting there. Oh, I like how you understand puns work. What was a snowman doing in the vegetable patch?
Looking for his nose?
Picking his nose.
Oh, I was so close.
What's a parent's favourite Christmas carol?
A parent's
favourite Christmas carol.
Don't
know. Silent Night.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I have heard that one, actually. That's a good one. I like that one.
Which of Saturday's reindeers has the best move?
Dancer.
Yeah, duh. Gotta dumb it down.
Oh, thanks.
How is Drake an elf?
How?
He spends his whole time rapping.
Eminem or something
like
that one.
Yeah, it just said Drake. It's like, how does Wu-Tang Clan? Oh, it's like, what do they sing at a snowman's birthday party? Freeze a jolly good fella.
Of course. Oh, Lisa. Should have known that one.
It's like, what do you call a boomerang that doesn't come back? Don't read into it. What is the boomerang
stick?
Yeah. It's like, don't read into it. Don't read into it. Just think of it. That was like what the frogs wear on their feet. Open-toed sandals. That was fucking hilarious.
And that, my lovely listeners, concludes the comeback special of Coffee and Crime. That was just something a little bit different, a little bit fun. We're feeling very merry over here. We've had a couple of drinks and we've looked at some Christmas things. It's very exciting and all happening over here. Just as I log off, I hope that you all have a very safe and very wonderful Christmas and New Year. Please be safe. Do not drink and drive. It is just not worth it. Make sure you get home to your loved ones and those that really care about you. If you're working through this Christmas time, I know that it's hard. This is like my first or second time not working through Christmas, and I know the pain of being the one at work when all your mates are off and all that, but it's okay. It's only temporary and better things will come. So that is all from me. Thank you so much, Ashton, for joining this episode today. I hope you enjoyed it as a returning guest.
Oh, I'm loving it. I'm keen to be on some other episodes as well.
Woo-hoo. We might have some big plans for the new year.
I have some big questions as well. Yeah. A lot of questions about
half the two-by-four. And like I said, these weren't obviously deep dives, and they were all from a website. So take it what you will. This was just kind of a let's get back into podcasting. So That's all from me. Like I said, have a wonderful Christmas, and until next time, be safe, be good, be better, and all that cheesy crap, and I will catch you guys in 2024. Bye!